attention on keeping kids eligible. How are we going to get them well beyond a 1.5 or 2.0 or whatever that is? We'll talk about that tonight, too. What's everybody else doing? You've got the eligibility analysis in front of you, and I didn't put it up here, so I apologize to the crowd. But I wanted to make sure that the board and the public knew that we looked at several districts, starting with West Jefferson, Miami Trace, Tuscarora Valley. Now, where the heck did Tuscarora Valley come from? That was one of our target schools. When we did our improvement process, we went and visited. They were excellent with distinction and have been for years. Dublin City, they're a big school. Why are we looking at them? Because we want to see what all schools are doing, just to see if there's some things we can steal from them. You can see here in a minute, there was something that I've stolen and put in our policy from one of those larger schools. Jonathan Alder, Oakwood City, Springbrook Community, and Mechanicsburg. Okay? When you look at this analysis, the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, who else has got a 2.0? Well, Dublin City had a 2.0, but they have waivers that you can take during your career as a high school student. So in other words, if you're not above a 2.0, you can go and petition an eligibility board and say, yeah, but here's why I think I should be eligible, and they can grant you that. So they have exceptions and waivers to that 2.0. So it's not a true 2.0 black line. Okay? Oakwood, 175, that's just a probationary period. So you're not ineligible the next grading period, you're just on probation. So again, there's some wavering on that 1.75. The only one I saw that was similar to ours is Mechanicsburg at a 1.67. Okay? I didn't see any exceptions in their policy, probation or waivers or anything like that. So I wanted to give you across the board mix, not necessarily people within the county, but everybody that we would want to be like. Okay? So that gives you a little bit of background. Again, we could look at 200 schools, but they're going to be all over the board. It goes back to the local Board of Education and what they're comfortable with enforcing. Talking about the failing grade criteria, we can look at that and say we don't want to be part of our policy. And at the last meeting, that's where we were. We said, I don't want it in there. Take it out. Failing grade, we don't want to have any criteria that talks to that. No failing grades allowed. In other words, if you have 1F, you're ineligible. Okay? That's an option. Oh, that was clear. No more than one failing grade. Now, this is the one that you've seen I put in the policy now. And the reason being is, what I was hearing from the board last time was, if we have a kid that has 4 A's and 1 F, they're ineligible, we don't like that. But if we have a student that has 2 F's, that's what this option speaks to. Okay? I would argue that 2 F's, you should be focusing on your grades instead of whatever activity you want to be a part in. Okay? That's why you see it in my proposal. Our GPA, and again, this is all over the place, and it goes back to what we're comfortable with, both enforcing and what we feel is a legitimate higher bar than High School Athletic Association and many of our peers that you see on the list. Some of the options, 1.0, High School Athletic Association requirement. You see, you know, West Jefferson, for example, is at a 1.0. That's where they feel comfortable with. They're using High School Athletic Association level, and apparently it works for them. 1.5, no exception. Easy to enforce because it's across the board. There's a black line there. Higher bar than High School Athletic Association. It's a lower standard than what we originally proposed in our original policy that was before you. We were talking about a 2.0. And we'll talk about in a moment why I'm looking at a 1.5. The 2.0, no exceptions. That's where we were. It was easy to enforce because it was going to be a black line. Problem with it, there's a potential, and I say a potential, there's a potential for the dumbing down of our curriculum. Okay? If you start setting your bar to a certain point and you know that your students are going to struggle with meeting that across the board, some of the staff inadvertently may say, this is a little too tough, the curriculum is a little too tough for these kids to get it, so I'm going to scale that back a little bit. Okay? We don't want that. We want our kids and our staff to be striving for the highest level. And again, we're talking about a minimum here. And my frustration is we're talking about how do we make sure kids have a 1.5. We don't want our kids to have a 1.5. We want them to have a 3.5. Okay? So I get a little frustrated when we keep talking about this minimum when we should be talking about what I'm going to do to get the maximum. Okay? It is a higher bar than the county schools and the target schools we looked at. Again, if we go with a 2.0 with no gray at all, No waivers, no probation. We are tougher than anybody on this list by far. Okay? And that's not to say we shouldn't be. But again, this is not going to guarantee that you have rigor in the classroom. And I think when we were talking about raising our bar, we looked at this as being our guarantee that we were going to raise rigor in the classroom. This is not the guarantee. Because when you look at these schools that are excellent with distinction, they've got lower standards, at least in the GPA requirement. So they're doing something else somewhere else. Okay. 2.0, waivers and probation. It is difficult to manage. Mrs. LeGault and Mr. Unger will be dealing with kids and parents coming in asking for waivers and probationary periods and all kinds of things if we put something like this into place, and I can't recommend that. Their time is too valuable. I want a black line. The higher GPA is also watered down by waivers and probation. It's not a true 2-point. You're ineligible unless you do this or we give you a waiver or you're on probation. So I think that's not the right signal. We want to say, here's the minimum. If you don't meet it, then you are ineligible. Okay. I'm going to go through a couple more things here. Who's subject to the eligibility policy? Okay, this is the third question we have to answer tonight. This was hard to get our hands around. If you notice, there's different districts do different things. Some of them are across the board. The policy is applied to everybody the same. Okay? But in most cases, that policy is applied to everybody the same because it's a pretty low bar. Ours is a 1.5. And so the logic we use, and I say we, the administration in our conversations, is which of these groups have a academic support piece to them? Okay? So when I say that, and you get out through the list, you say, okay, these are subject to the policy. They do not have an academic support piece to them. Not subject to the policy in the green, Art Club, for example, we're saying they do support academics somehow in their existence. Good example. We have a student who's failing in science, and he's ineligible. We're not going to let him go to science club. That makes no sense. You would want him to go to science club. So we don't want him to be ineligible. So he's got bad grades. We still want him to be able to go to that. Okay? We want them to put their time in there. If they have bad grades, they're subject to the policy. We want them to not go to flag corps, cheerleading, and so on, and focus on their academics. Does that make sense? I make sure I'm not talking in circles.
But what if his failing grade is in French? And he's getting an A in science. You still let him go to science club?
No. What we're saying is, over here underneath, they're not subject to the policy. And I don't know if we have a French club listed up there, but
Spanish club.
Okay. No, I'm saying if you're saying if he's got a bad grade in science, you're gonna let him go to science club. I'm saying, what if his bad grade is in French?
And he still wants to go to science club?
Right.
Right. It's not subject to the policy. In other words,
he can still go.
Correct. We want them to go to those clubs on the green. The ones in the blue, we want them to focus on their academics.
Oh, okay, I follow.
Okay?
That took me a minute.
I know, it takes a while to get your mind around it.
Okay.
Blue side, we're saying, is subject to the policy, and if they're ineligible, they can't participate. Green is saying, even if they're ineligible, we want them to participate.
In those.
Right. Now, one school on that list did just this. The rest of them say it's all or nothing.
So give me an example of a non-graded field trip.
Okay, the Washington, D.C. trip.
Okay.
Some other examples you guys are aware of?
Science Review, for example.
College fairs, and the sophomores all go to Tunnels for a day.
Right. Field trips. They're non-graded field trips.
Okay.
In other words, there's no, what's the right term you were saying the other day, Matt?
There's no connection to academics. It does not enhance or support the academics.
But it doesn't the FFA go to the Fire Science Review sometimes?
They support.
You would.
Right, but they don't have to turn in a project related to the Fire Science.
So it's true.
Oh, okay.
Extra.
Okay.
And if you notice the little stars,
see?
National State Events, FCCLA and FFA, we talked long and hard about this as well. You may have earned the right to go to the national convention, but if you're ineligible, we're not going to let you go because you need to focus on your academics. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be in judging and those type of things locally, but there has to be some impact on them for not being eligible. Does that make sense?
Why is concert band not subject to the policy, but marching band is?
For what we just said, marching band has an attendance grade that's given to them. It's not an academic grade. It's basically put in place to make sure they get a half a credit as long as they show up for Friday nights. And what we're saying is, we'll still give you the attendance grade if you show up for Friday nights, but you're not going to participate in the show.
And concert band?
Concert band does get a grade. That's the difference between marching and concert. We've fleshed that one out pretty good several times because we knew we'd get questions on it, and rightfully so. And that is the norm that I saw in these schools. Marching band is usually pulled in for that reason.
What about the dances? Why can't they go to any of the dances if they don't have that? I mean, the dance is only one night, usually Friday or Saturday night.
Because it's an extra. Do you really want them going to a dance instead of doing their academics?
Well,
that's what we're saying.
Do their academics, but you
it's
know,
the same thing as a non-graded field trip.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get rewarded. You earn your way to go to a non-graded field trip. You also earn your way to go to a dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my big problems with the Literary Club, Science Club, and Spanish Club. Those are club activities. I don't see where, I was in school, I don't see where they gain a lot of knowledge from those clubs.
They may not, but it does seem a bit hypocritical that we have a science club, and if you're ineligible, we're not going to let them go to the science club, which is truly about science. I mean, that's where I struggle with that.
That goes back to what I said. But I still, and I may be just missing it here, I still don't understand how, if you're ineligible and your ineligibility is not due to science, why are you allowed to go to science club if you're still ineligible? If you're failing math, why should I? Because science club doesn't support the math department.
Correct. But it is an academic support club is what we are looking at it as. And you may disagree, and that's the whole point of this.
Sure.
And the difficulty of enforcing that, if you think about it.
No,
one here and one there. And
no, and I understand. I mean, because then you're down to looking at which class you're ineligible
yes.
due to, and I know that makes it hard.
I'm saying pull all those out of there. They don't make sense.
Meaning
art club, science club, Spanish club, literary club?
They should
make them
be
subject to the policy as well?
Yeah, they
saying
should all be subject to the policy, I believe. And I may be wrong. I haven't heard anything that convinces me they shouldn't be.
Our logic was in trying to divide these out and not having everything subject to the policy was, do they have an academic component where they support academics? That was our logic. If you disagree with that, that's fine.
We don't have it broken down like this today. We don't have it defined, do we?
In the policy proposed to you right now?
The proposed policy.
Today what we have.
But,
is it defined?
No,
no, it's
one,
just...
Because
no.
To be quite honest, you have other policies that contradict it.
Right.
So we can't enforce
of course
any
we
of
do.
That. Which, if we change this, then we'll clean those up as well.
How does the yearbook staff have an academic support?
It's a course.
That's a great class. That's a course.
Is it really?
As in civics
yeah.
1 and 2, and newspaper staff
that's
also
a
is a great course. So I don't have a problem with those, or FFA, or concert band for that matter. It's the clubs that I'm looking at that I have an issue with.
I guess it's the value of whether it truly supports the academic effort
mm-hmm.
or not is where you're at.
I guess part of my thing with some of the clubs, though, I guess if I think about it, and you have a student in that club, it's not like you're going into starting lineup of a football team or anything. I mean, so if you miss something or you're having a bad grade, so you miss a couple club meetings or whatever they're doing and get your grades up, but that's up to the individual student, I guess. But
some of those
I mean,
clubs do meet during the school day, also. That's another piece.
Oh, okay.
Well, the only one I got a problem with is Quick Recall.
That's
Quick
an
Recall is no different than Chess Club. We're going to take Chess Club away and play Quick Recall. It's
some schools is actually a competition.
That's a big, that's kind of a big deal. At least it was, you know.
Which is exactly what the ones on the left are.
Yes.
So quick recall should be on the left-hand side, in my opinion.
And let me ask you this. Are any of you in favor of a coverall where whatever GPA we come up with is applied to all that?
Well, I think if it's a graded course, it should not apply. If it's not a graded course, it should certainly apply.
But you're not, my point is to take that off the table, you're not in favor of the eligibility being a coverall. All these are subject to the law of the land.
I don't know.
The easiest thing to do is say, other than athletics, doesn't apply. I'm not a proponent of that.
I'm
just telling you that's the easiest thing to do.
I think you say, other than graded courses, it does apply.
And marching band's graded or not graded?
And marching band is not a graded course, so
not graded.
It's subject to the policy.
Band is great.
It is.
The marching component is an attendance.
Just attendance. That's the one where you show up and get half credit.
That's the difference between concert band and marching.
Marching is just the attendance.
It's just the attendance grade.
And concert is performance and no one's base.
But they get a graded performance for their OMEA competitions, but not for Friday night football games. Because it's a state sanctioned graded event. Same thing with concert band.
If you show up, I mean, all they're saying is if you show up for the march and you don't get a march, but
right.
So I really don't see the point there.
Do get your credit if you don't march?
You get your credit
if you show up.
Okay.
If you show up. Now, does
so they're
the,
still not at home studying, but I don't disagree. It's not a graded course, so I think it should be subject to policy.
I may be jumping ahead here, I guess, but the thing that Dr. Unger's put in or wants to put in place as far as the after school activities for if you have missing assignments and whatever else, does that affect across the board too, or is this just to the people that would be on the left side in the blue, you know? Well, that's next. I'm sorry. I am jumping ahead.
Okay. Explain that or just wait.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That's the next page.
I jumped ahead. Sorry.
Tuesday assignment hall is all students.
Regardless.
Any student that has below a B average in a class who has missing work may be assigned, will be assigned assignment hall for that class. They will have, if they're announced on Friday that they have it, they're given their list of the missing assignments. They have until the end of the day on Monday to have all those turned in. If they don't have them turned in by the end of the day on Monday, then they have 2 hours after school on Tuesday to complete them.
Okay.
And they'll get a minimum of 70% grade for doing that.
Okay.
Fair enough. But it's really, it supports this piece because
it's across
a way for them to stay eligible, but it's really not
an
eligibility policy.
Gotcha.
Right. You want them to stay eligible. You want
to
do everything.
The shift in focus to before you're ineligible is the key.
Sure.
And that's what this slide talks to is some of the things that we're doing, and I'll let Matt expand a little bit more of the assessments that BLT is going to be looking at.
We're going to be looking at assessments as the 9 weeks progresses. They're going to be supplying data to the department heads, which will be put in a report form and then be given to myself so that we can identify individual student weaknesses as they're going along. So hopefully we can catch a student that's having some difficulty in class and get them some help before the end of the 9 week grading period. Couple options that we can do for that. We do have some remediation courses that are built into the schedule. So if they're having trouble in math, we can pull them out of an elective class and stick them in the math remediation course to try to help with that math grade where they're actually working with a math teacher. Same way with the English side of it. It's all meant to work towards keeping students eligible. It's also meant to keep everybody looking at their progress as they go along so that we can see progress over a 9 week period and not necessarily at the end of the year or to the end of 9 weeks.
Do we notify and keep all of the coaches and all the people in charge of those clubs? Do we keep them up to date, too, on the status of students in their programs, where
have
they are?
Have we or will we?
Will we?
Well, it depends on this policy.
Okay.
This information that we start to gather will be available to these coaches to access as far as which members of their team are struggling and might not be eligible at 10 to 9 weeks, and they might want to look at them as far as getting some help with their studies after school, too.
I was thinking a little bit like a weekly kind of thing.
Well, they'll know weekly whether they have missing assignments or not. And one of the major reasons why kids are ineligible isn't because of their grades, it's because they don't turn their work in.
Sure.
And they get zeros for it.
So. Can I speak on that real quick?
Yeah, sure.
At the midway point of every 9 weeks, we pull every student's grade from the home district. We send a letter home to anybody who has a D or F at that point. And then from that point on, the rest of the 9 weeks, Carrie Whitaker and I check every athlete weekly for the last 4 weeks of that 9 weeks if they had a D or F at that point. So yeah, we do that for the athletes, and we do it for everybody at the midway point, but then we stop after that point with everybody that is not an athlete at that time. Yeah, we do that kind of.
So you'd have to make those other clubs kind of part of that regimen, I would think. If we could.
That could easily be done.
Yeah,
reports are being pulled anyway.
Right. Okay. I like that. Right.
I think the issue was in the past. It wasn't so much what our policy said as what we were doing behind the policy.
Right.
In the interim, and that's where, if we had a weakness, we were focusing so much on this to fix our problems. But truly, what fixes our problems is what we do before this happens. So you hear me say that, but we've talked a lot about this, and we kind of know that's what the issue is. Maybe Kim could talk for a second about a short period of junior high and how that's going to benefit us.
That's an intervention period that we have at the end of the day. That's where the reading specialists for our identified students that are struggling in reading are going to come up. We have 8 teachers working with intensive reading intervention. But another piece we have to that is on Fridays they have advisory groups. All the students are divided. And it's if you would come into the junior high, there's a wall. And they've got team names, and you'll see points next to them. The kids are competing as well. Based off of, they're learning how to calculate their own GPA, so they're not surprised by what a GPA is. But they earn positive points for being at school, which attendance is a huge issue in a student having academic success. They earn positive points by making good decisions, trying to work on some of that character building. But they also earn negative points for their team for missing assignments. So if they have 6 missing assignments, there's going to be 6 points that are coming off their team's piece. So they're holding one another accountable as well and tracking each other. And it's becoming quite the competition between every team on Fridays when we announce who has the highest amount of points. And there's a traveling banner. And this past Friday was the first time that the kids went around to every teacher because they aren't. We'll be getting the iPads rolled out here soon, and the kids can pull up on progress book and see their own grades. But right now they can't. So they walked around and had to ask every teacher, what's my grade in your class? And it opened a dialogue with the teacher with every single student in their classroom about, why do you have a C? Oh, well, you're missing this assignment. So it opened up that two-way communication, and then they turned those into their advisory teachers, and that calculated into how their points. And every student was able to come with those. So they were aware of what their grades were. So we'll be pulling those with them and having a discussion every Friday. They are in their advisory group assigned to the same teacher all year. So we have one teacher tracking those individual students. It's kind of that, when they travel classroom to classroom, it's not like elementary and intermediate where the parent automatically knows where to go. This centralizes where do they go. So it's kind of that connecting piece from the parent into the school and have a group of teachers.
I think it's also important to point out that in this policy, as well as your previous policy, the junior high was basically at the High School Athletic Association standards. Does that make sense? We don't have a higher standard for the junior high than High School Athletic Association. Okay? It's 5 passing credits. So we are going above and beyond in the junior high as well, is my point. So I think if you take the vantage point that this policy, when you want to put in place, is important. We have to have a good, clear policy that's communicated out to everybody so they know what it is. But what's more important is, we don't want kids on the ineligibility list to begin with, whether it's a 1, a 1.5, or a 2. Okay? So So if our goal was zero on the eligibility policy, then this is a moot point. That's where we're trying to migrate to, through how we monitor and then intervene. Okay. We got a little heartburn on the who it applies to. And let's start here, if we can. The failing grade criteria. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Are we comfortable with it? I'll just start with the easy one. No failing grades. In other words, if you have one F, then you're ineligible. That was the one that previously we said no. We didn't like that. That's still the same?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then it comes down between one and three. One says F is not a criteria for ineligibility at all. So all we have is a GPA list, and that's all we're looking at. Whereas if you have number three, you have the GPA for every student, as well as those students that have two Fs, okay? Or maybe they just have one F. What it does, it forces Mr. and Mrs. Principal to look at their grades as well as their GPA, okay? So if I see a kid with an F, they might still be eligible if they got an F. What are we doing about the student with an F?
Right.
Okay, so again, to take it completely off the board, I think we're going to fall short in one area, that in monitoring. Not that they wouldn't do it anyhow, but I like to have it in there where it's part of it, so every time we're looking at the eligibility list, it's looking at GPA and whether they have more than one failing grade. It's a good monitoring tool. Okay, that's why I like number three.
I like having that in there.
I like number three.
Just one.
Right, if you have one failing grade, you're still eligible.
It's going to be hard to meet the GPA if you have two.
Right.
You know,
my belief was that the not part of the policy, the trade-off was the higher GPA at two. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it was.
So I'm still in favor of not part of policy and keeping the GPA at two.
Even after you saw
what you just said, you thought the trade-off was what? For a 2.0?
The trade-off was, we don't put failing grade as part of the policy. And that the trade-off on that was that we up the GPA to 2.0.
And we said you could have one failing grade.
We said we didn't care if you had failing grades.
We took that out of the mix.
We took that out
too. We don't care about if there's a failing grade or not, right?
Yeah, okay. And we raised the GPA to 2.0. That is what we had agreed on.
Right. I'm fine with that one too. Theoretically, you can still get, depending on what your classes are, you can still get a 2.0 and have two failing grades.
Yes, you could.
You can probably do it.
You
can do it.
You could take eight classes.
But I guess the point I'm making with number three, there will be guaranteed monitoring of all the kids. If any of them have an F, the principal will know it immediately with that listing. That's what we're looking for. Trying to get more data to be required to be in front of them for them to look at for eligibility.
So monitoring is dependent upon the eligibility policy?
No, absolutely not. No, it does make sense in regards to you as a board are saying we want you to look at that.
See, that's what
we do want them to look at it, but it doesn't necessarily.
No, you're telling me that you want them to look at it at that point. That'd be a directive from me. You as a board, if you put number three in, are saying we want you to include that as
right.
part of the eligibility policy. Looking at F.
Bob, so this doesn't change your mind, the more data that you look at with this, the comparisons, because certainly that's an eye-opening. What we're talking about, what are we trying to do, right? We're trying to hold them to higher standards. If you look at the stuff, the people that have 2.0s, if we just do some comparisons, and I'm okay with being on our own. I'm with that, but.
I reviewed this before you came here, so I have a complete understanding.
It didn't, that didn't change your opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
Kelly, can I ask you a question? Why would this change your opinion?
Well, you know what? Because I think that in the districts that we saw with 2.0s, they're not really true 2.0s. They're not holding 2.0s. They have waivers, and they have committees, and they have other things that are going to enable them to skirt around that. And I think that's not really what we were trying to
so
say.
That's why on this, Tim, I love you to death. You know that. This means nothing to me. And if anybody wants to speak up for it, please do. This means absolutely squat, because when we brought up the thing about Rager, I want to take that off the table. That has nothing to do with what this is right here, in my opinion. We're talking about being able to be granted certain privileges for doing the work that we're asking you to do. We can still have the highest rigor in the world. Just because these people are exceptional does not mean it's because of this.
Agreed.
Right, that's what he's saying.
So we can
saying.
Still do that. We can still have our 2.0 policy the way we want it. And it has nothing to do with us having to achieve that rigor. All we're saying is, if the kids don't want to do what we ask them to do and carry a 2.0 and not be failing, then they can't play or they can't do these things. Those should be honors, not privileges.
I don't disagree. But the same logic applies. You could say a 1.0 doesn't really matter because it's all about what happens.
Because it makes it pretty much a privilege when you look at some of this. In my opinion, that's all this is doing. I look at this and I think, okay, so we have a couple perennial powerhouses here and they're just going with a 1.0? But you look back on their scores, and their scores in rigor are higher than ours.
Correct.
So they really don't take this.
What that tells you is
that tells you this doesn't impact that, right?
For improvement in student education.
I look at what we want to try to do, and this is, you guys will all chuckle about this. But does anybody know what grade point average at Northwestern has to be to participate in any athletic thing in the Big Ten Conference? You have to be a 3.0 student. Nobody else in the Big Ten has to do that. Northwestern does. And you know what? They got a pretty good football team right now. They tend to have some pretty good basketball teams. So what's that telling you? They're forcing those kids to come in and do their studies and do what they need to do. That's all we're asking.
But those are recruited kids. I mean, I'm not taking away the fact that you can't be pushing the kids, but those are they've got to meet those requirements before they're even admitted to the school.
But we're not even asking kids right now to do college stuff if they don't want to. We're just asking them to do the basic stuff that, you know, they don't have to take college prep courses. They just need to take the basics that we are setting up and meet a 2.0.
But they are pushing them to do the college courses, and the bad thing is when you push that kid to take those college courses and you put him in a class that maybe he can't quite succeed in, and he struggles, but yet he's getting there, but he can't quite get that grade.
I see what you're saying there, but that also goes beyond this because now I'm getting information back from kids. You know, I'm kind of doing the Don Swanger and asking kids, how you doing in school? Well, I dropped this class because I wasn't ready for it. Well, are we actually getting our kids ready for college? No, because there's an awful lot of them dropping grades right now, and I thought we were doing all this stuff for college prep. So that really doesn't have anything to do with our eligibility, in my opinion, either. All I'm saying is, if you do what we basically ask you to do, what the state requirements are to graduate, right? That doesn't say anything about being in a college prep course, correct? That's all you have to do to be eligible.
Right, but part of that is what we don't want to have happen. Part of it is we don't want kids dropping out of an AP class to take a math class that they know they can get a 4.0 in to help carry some other F that they might have. We want kids to be able to push themselves, you know, so you got a kid that's playing football and he can get a 1.5, but he's pushing himself to get ready for college. Now, I don't know if the school is pushing him that hard, but maybe he's trying to get there, you know what I'm saying? And so he can push himself to take those classes, but yet he doesn't want to have to worry about maintaining that 2.0 to play football or basketball or baseball or whatever it is. So he instead, you know, we could be forcing him to drop that AP class and take a general math class. That's my only concern, is that I'm you know, and I have an athlete that was like that. I mean, I'm actually kind of glad he got out of here before we did this, because I don't know that he would have made it. But you know what I'm saying.
I'm telling you what, I had that same problem, but I'm pretty proud of my athlete because she does work to get this done.
And I think most of them do.
She's met all this.
And I think most of them do work hard, and they are trying. And I don't think we should be forcing them to take lesser classes.
And I don't think we are. I mean,
well,
do you think that would happen?
I think it happens more than you would think.
I think the possibility is
there. I think the possibility is there.
I think it would, too. The other four things up there, too.
It happens.
Like
I think if a kid takes a class and he realizes he's not going to do well,
and
he's
going
to drop it regardless of eligibility.
And here's my opinion. I mean, the eligibility thing is a rule on its own. I think getting the kids ready for college depends on the principals and the guidance counselor and the other teachers. The eligibility policy should not be forcing our kids to get ready for college.
shouldn't be forcing them to get better.
That should be the principals and the guidance counselors.
And I agree with you on that.
Right.
But I also don't think our eligibility policy should be just set up in...
And I understand what you're saying. I do understand that 2.0. I just feel that maybe it's not the right way with that GPA. And I don't know what the right way is. I just sit here and I think about I use my own kids.
I think the important thing is that the eligibility policy is a tool we use to help improve student performance. It's one tool.
Right.
We've hung our hat on this as the tool. It's one. And we outlined some of the other things we're putting in place to help those students improve their performance. Okay? I don't want us to get so hung up on one policy that we get frozen, and we have been. If you think about it, this 2.0, we really haven't enforced it since we came up with it a couple years ago. That's the problem you have. What I'm saying is, whatever we come up with at the end of this grading period, it will be enforced. So if we're at a 2.0, no exceptions across the board, and we have 65 students that are ineligible, they're going to be ineligible.
And there are a handful of kids.
That's
okay,
if that's what we want to do.
And not every kid has the support at home that some of our kids, or that your kids have, Dave. I mean, you know, she's got a good support system at home where parents are pushing her to do her grades and get good grades, where even if she's struggling. There are certain kids, and I know I just use some of the kids that are on the wrestling team. There are kids on that wrestling team that needed that team way more than they needed. You know what I mean? They needed to be part of that team more than they needed to be wrestling.
Okay.
You know?
So I'm going to use a band as an example because
sure.
They have put a support system into place to help each other maintain and improve their grades.
Good.
That's good.
And that is good. Why can't it be done across the board, though? Matt? Why can't the football team put support groups in place to help each other out? Or Gary, the basketball team.
They can. They can. Some of those sports, though, unfortunately, I mean, and I use golf, I use wrestling, I use some of those other schools or programs only have 7, 8, 10 kids on them. Sometimes it's hard to find enough support in those other 6, 7 kids, you know.
So I'm kind of confused. Do we want to have the... no more than one failing grade, or do we want to not even look at failing grades as far as policy? I mean, so far we're dancing around it, but we really haven't, you know, said what do we want to do. I'm in favor of having one failing grade, but if we want to up the GPA from 1.5, which is in the policy, the proposed policy, if we want to up that a little bit more, maybe one, you know, eight in the middle, 1.75, that could be good. Or, you know, I think Dave is under the impression, or the opinion, that it's not part of the policy.
So am I. I've stated,
keep it at 2.0.
I just stated that categorically. 2.0, we don't care about the failing grade. I'm not wobbling on this. That's exactly what I said. I don't know if Dave is on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to carry a 2.0. But, yeah, I'm just one person. I'm going to put the section all green.
That's the challenge.
And I appreciate anything you did with this, Tim. I'm not trying to say what you can do. But, you know, it's just like I was talking to you earlier about this one. This doesn't mean anything to me. I want to know what Madison Plains wants to do. I don't care about anybody else.
Exactly. That's why I say they're all different, because each board is unique.
Right.
And it should be that way.
I mean, I like it to see what everybody else is doing. Have an idea where are we falling? You know, I mean, if we're going to fall into a place like Dublin, you know, have the 2.0 but have no waivers, we're going to be tougher for eligibility than anybody else. I mean, is that what we want? Can we do that? I mean, we don't have thousands of students in the district that we can pick and choose the best ones for the football team. Or the basketball team, or for the band. You know, we're stuck with, you know, 1,200, 1,250 students that we get to pick, you know, essentially who wants to play on the team. Great, you're on, you're in. You know, and I don't hear very many people not getting on the team because we don't have the hundreds of kids like Dublin has that want to be on the team. So what are they going to do? Hell yeah, they're going to pick their best.
Well, I want to be very clear. This board member doesn't look at it like that because
this board member really deep down doesn't care if we have any of those teams. We're here to educate people.
Exactly.
If I don't have enough football players, oh well, Mass Appliance just didn't have a football team. But I also wanted to be very clear that I don't think, you know, the way you stated that, I don't want everybody to think it's a privilege just to be on the football team. You got to earn your right to be on the football team. And one of those is you got to do your grades.
Well, I think it's...
Okay, but... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
You know, I think, yeah, it should be a privilege. And if you're in a district like Dublin or Westerville, that it is a privilege. But when you're in a district our size, you know, to not give the opportunity to students who want to play in the sports, that opportunity to be able to play in the sports, and say, well, it's because you got an F, or it's because you didn't have a 2.0, you know, and you've got, you know, maybe, what, 10 people on a baseball team that meet the eligibility, and then you tell the rest of those 10 people, well, sorry, guys, we don't have enough because the other folks aren't going to be able to meet the eligibility. Is that fair to the ones that are already there that want to play? Is it fair to the school to not have participation in a sport that competes with other districts? You know, I think it's a school pride thing that we have teams that can compete. And, you know, if we can set the eligibility that we ensure that we have a team, you know, they might not be great this year, but they'll get better. And we've seen that. The teams are always getting a little bit better here or there. You know, and that improves the pride that the other students will have in the district.
Well, we can set a policy like that, Ken. We'll make it 1.0, and failing grades aren't part of the policy. Have all people playing you want. That's what you're saying. No, I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is to have an eligibility requirement that is more strict, you know, has a higher standard than these bigger schools like Dublin. I'm sure it would have been nice to see Westerville or some other bigger schools in there, but I know Dublin, you know, that's huge. That's a huge school. You know, and to be more strict than that, we don't have the amount of students to make that a viable school.
Mechanicsburg is probably not as big as Madison Plains. They're 1.67 and one failing grade.
No more than one failing.
But Tuscarawas Valley, they're a school that's operating under, you know, excellence.
And they're 1.0.
They got a 1.0.
This shouldn't drive our academics, is what we're...
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree with that. I mean, we should be focusing on academics. We're a school.
Right.
We're not a sports club.
We started the MPI 2 years ago, just about, right?
Whether you say it's 1.0, 2.0, or 3.0, it's not going to decide, it's not the deciding factor on how our kids are going to perform.
Right.
It's just not. What these folks are doing in the buildings is what's going to decide that, not this. So again, I know we've had a lot of discussion on this, and we've debated long and hard on it, 1.5, 2.0, whatever it is, and it matters. It is important. But it's not the most important thing, and I don't want us to get that hung up on it. We feel, oh my gosh, if we change it a little bit, if we go away from a 2.0, you know, we've screwed everything we've tried to do. That is not the case. I'm telling you, the driving force in improvement is principals and teachers. It's not this policy.
Mr. Mason, does the league have a minimum GPA?
No.
No?
They follow high high school.
Follow high high school? Okay.
Because each school is different.
I do want to say one thing. You just look like you're ready to talk.
One of the things I think that the board should consider also is that many of the schools that we're looking on at that list who have what seems to be a lower standard for a GPA than we do have a higher standard for a grading scale. So therefore, a passing grade is harder to get in some of those school districts than it is in our school district. In our school district, it takes a 60% to pass. In some of those school districts, it takes a 67 or 68% to pass. So that there's a flip to, they may be allowing for a lower GPA, but that's because it's harder to earn those higher grades. That's just something to consider.
And as part of the improvement process for this year, that discussion on our grading policy is on the agenda. So that's the flip side of that. That's a very good point, Karen.
You're not in trouble, Karen. I'm trying to
process what I just said.
Just being Dave, I'll disagree with that.
Okay.
Dave, can I say something? As a parent of four kids, through the school system.
Can you?
Oh, yeah. Go to the podium. Thank you.
Without athletics,
you're not gonna
my
track
kids
children.
Would ask me.
That's right. You're not going to attract their children and get growth that we've been projecting and talking about.
They all do very well in school. They're all good students. They're all great kids. But without athletics, they would ask me.
Hey, Gary, I'm not disputing that, but I'm going to tell everybody in this group about his kids. His kids don't fit in the criteria I'm talking about.
Well,
his kids don't fit into my kids' criteria because they do very well in school. So it's not even an issue. What I'm getting at is, why are we setting this policy? Your kids aren't even going to be affected by this, Gary. I know your kids very well. A lot of kids won't. What I'm getting at is, this should be for the kids that all they want to do is just come play. Well, no, if you can't make a grade, you're not going to just come play.
How long ago was it when we had, where we almost didn't have athletics here?
When we were doing the pay to play?
I know my oldest kids were 30 and 27, but we were almost not going to have athletics, and they both asked to move.
Because we couldn't, at that time we couldn't afford it, and there was a lot of people didn't want to pay for their kids.
Exactly, so I'm saying.
But that's where I'm getting at on that one, Gary. I'm not just speaking what you're saying.
Okay.
And I believe it's a big thing. You know how I feel about
it. I know.
Especially about Madison Plains. But is that what it's all about right now? I mean, your kids aren't even going to be affected. What about the kids that really just don't, all they want to do is come and play? Do we set the bar just for them?
If we were doing that, we'd be at a 1.0. If we were going to be a recruiting school, we'd be at a 1.0.
I mean, in order for them to play, I think they should have to meet some criteria.
I'd agree with you.
I'll
just point out locally, Miami Trace at a 1.5. Okay? They've gone above High School Athletic Association.
Yeah, I understand that, but I agree with Mr. Morlock also that, you know, if you got six kids that fit my kids' criteria and nobody else, but they don't get to play because the rest of them can't meet the standards.
But from what we did last year, we still had teams, and we had pretty much 2.0, even though we find out now maybe it was at a discretion level at times. But still, we had it.
You make a very good point, but I do want to, you know, we talked about these examples. It really did happen. Last year we didn't have boys soccer. There's three kids that were eligible. Two of them went and played at London because they were eligible there.
Right.
You know, it does happen. It did happen. It's not a. It's not an.
It's real.
Maybe, and that's not saying to judge the policy in any way. I just want to say that example we keep using. That last year, right here, we didn't have a boys' soccer team, so 10 boys didn't get to play. Now, like that shouldn't determine this policy, but it did happen.
Can you read the proposed policy?
Dave,
can we move to that?
I'm not saying I disagree with it.
I'm not arguing. I appreciate
you.
Right.
We went through the PowerPoint.
Good point.
I asked Tim to read the proposed policy. We've gone through that part of the presentation, and then what else was there? Oh, and then the comparisons, right?
Yep.
Okay. This is just our first reading, so.
Right, and one thing I will.
Oh, don't power that off.
No, press any other button.
One thing to point out that really is significant, in the past discussions on the eligibility policy, all we were talking about was should it be a 1.5 or 2.0 or whatever that should be. We didn't talk about the different groups. We didn't look at other schools. We didn't do the study that we're supposed to do. And we didn't have the debate here on all three areas. So it's critical that we do this so we come up with one that we all agree upon. It's not just about that 2.0. What was presented to you in the board packet was the third paragraph in blue. Previously we said no failing grade. We changed that to no more than one. Okay, so you could have one, but not two. Then down below the next paragraph, we basically changed from a 2.0 to a 1.5. Okay, and then down below in the blue, we put the first paragraph in that speaks to the different activities that would be required to meet the eligibility requirements. The list is much longer than we have before you tonight. this was just our starting point. We knew it was the first reading, so we'd be adding to it. Then the last paragraph in blue is one that I saw in almost every other eligibility policy, a standard language, basically saying that just because your child is on an IEP doesn't mean that they're exempt from the eligibility policy. Because we've had a lot of questions about that and wanted to make sure that was clarified. That's kind of a no-brainer. The IEP has to specify that for some reason they're exempt from the policy. Okay, so that last paragraph in blue, we kind of need to have that one. So the three areas in blue is what we're talking about. We're trying to get identified tonight where you want to be. We've had our first reading. We've had debate. We really haven't settled on anything. What you'll get from me at the next meeting is my proposed eligibility policy, taking into account everything everybody said. And again, I'm not going to poll the board. I don't think that's appropriate. I've got your input at this meeting. I know where you stand. And you'll get a proposal from me at the next meeting. At that meeting, if you don't like that proposal, I mean, you have to vote no. That's the way the process works.
Because right now we're operating under the Ohio High School, right? We've adopted that at the last meeting,
correct.
Right? So and that's where we are today.
You will be voting on that again at the next meeting until the end of the grading period when this will go into effect.
That's for athletics.
That's correct.
That doesn't encompass all the other clubs or the anything else. Because they're not specified in our policy today.
And before we end this discussion, just so I want to clear something up for just my point of view. I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to hinder any of these kids. Because there's not too many in this room right now that are proud of these mass placements. You cut me open and I'm going to bleed green and gold. True green and gold, not colors I've seen here lately. I joke about it, but I seriously mean it. There's no kids that mean any more to me than the kids at this school. And I just don't care about any other ones except ours. And I mean that. I mean, I don't want to see any kid fail, but I am a homer. And I want everything good for our kids, including all of our policies and all of our teams and all of our schools and classes. I want our kids to be able to be as good as possible. I feel like our kids are a notch above everybody else's. That's what I was looking at you about earlier, Karen. I'll bet if I sec my kids, if we take our kids and test them against anybody else's on the same tests, I'll bet we score just as good as they do. And I'll stand by that. Just because the state deems we don't do things correctly by their standards doesn't make me feel that our kids aren't better than everybody else's, because I do feel that. So, sorry if I've raised too many concerns about that.
Don't trip over.
But I want it to be right. I want it to have a good
Absolutely.
Policy.
Agreed. Okay. I will have a policy before you at the next meeting. Next item, just briefly, suspension of pay. You have an action item in front of you, which there's a reduction of a contract of one of our employees. I have to present that to you for approval. Item number three, and I'll just get right to it, and I'll ask Mrs. Grigsby, our illustrious curriculum director, to speak on the report card. Again, this is not the normal full presentation, because we just got the latest report card last week. You'll get that in October, but I did ask her to share some.
So what Mr. Detweiler has shown to you here is a snapshot of only the first page of our district's report card from the State Department. A couple items that I just want to make sure to point out tonight, and like I said, I probably only speak about 5 minutes, I hope, on this, and then we'll do a more, as Mr. Detweiler, more detailed presentation next board meeting. What you can see here is that the State Department has issued us grades in 9 areas. There's one grade pending, and that's our K-3 literacy grade, and that's just due to some things happening throughout the state with reporting that they're waiting to issue everybody's grade at the same time. When I spoke to you last year, we were under the impression that that the 2015 we would get these overall grades, and the state has now pushed that back one more year also because of the newness of the testing that we're going to participate in this year. As you can see up here with the grading scale that the state uses is the 10-point scale that we also use here. And they issue those grades in several of these areas. Now, if you go to the next slide, I can show you what I wanted to highlight for you tonight is those areas that we've made improvements in. And what you'll see here is actually almost most areas we made improvements in. And ones I'm not showing you were actually ones that had stayed the same. So our performance index score, which is measured our overall as part of our achievement category, last year was a 77.4%, and we've moved that up to a 79.5%. So we're on the cusp of that B range as issued by the state. One area that is a drop on their state report card is the number of indicators we met. Last year we met just over 70% of the indicators, but the key there is last year the state was using a 75% benchmark, expecting 75% of your students to pass in all those areas. For this school that year, they raised it to an 80% benchmark. So on the report card, it looks like we've dropped significantly down to this 62, almost 63%. But I went back and compared back to, if we were comparing apples to apples, that 75% to 75%, you'll see that we went up nearly 13% in indicators met. And had they used that same 75% benchmark, we would have actually been in the B category for that. So we actually are gaining more in our testing, but the benchmark went up, and so that wasn't shown in the state's test. Gap closing is the area where they measure for how we are doing at getting our students closer to the benchmark each year. Considering that the benchmark changed this year, this is actually a huge improvement for us, going from 44% to almost 74% in all of those tested areas. So that's another big improvement for us. Our four-year graduation rate was an A last year. It's still an A, but the area that we improved in was our five-year graduation rate, and those are those kids who don't graduate on time, but into the next year, and we improved in that category as well, reaching those students. In the value-added category, there are actually four categories. Two of those categories stayed the same, but two of them went up pretty significantly. Our overall value added, and that's that, are you making a year's worth of growth with all students? Last year that was an F, and that was something that we really focused on, and we have that one up to a C now for our overall value added. Our lowest 20% was also an F, and now it is also a C. So that lowest 20% are your, basically what is it, the lowest achieving 20%. We put a lot of time and intervention into that group of students, and we're seeing that those results are beginning to pay off, seeing a jump there. K-3 literacy is the area that I told you we don't have the grade yet, but one piece of data that we do have that I can share from that is at the beginning of last school year, or I'm sorry, two school years ago, we had 61% of our students who were not on track for reading in kindergarten through third grade. And of those 61 students, we've cut that down to only 37 students. And that's due in large part to the intensive reading intervention that we've added at the elementary level. So as you're hearing from the community, things about the report card, things like that, I just wanted to make sure that you were educated on the pieces where we are making those improvements and making those that growth. Are there any questions?
What was the overall?
The benchmarks.
We don't get an overall yet.
The benchmarks are going to be increasing again for this year too, I think, aren't they? I thought I saw or read something where every year they're going to be going up a little bit.
I think they're holding. I don't think that's this year.
Okay.
Originally.
Yeah. Like, maybe they.
That got changed. Good. That's good.
There is no overall grade. That's they had said 2015 we would get an overall grade. Now they're saying 2016. So we're still holding off. They're just giving us these smaller areas at this time.
And that's okay. As we continue to improve, when they finally do get an overall, we'll be okay.
That'd be better. So, that's what we're counting on.
Do you have any questions for Karen? Thank you. We have to be excited. You have to be excited about this data. I remember this time last year, we were all sitting here with our heads down, tails between our legs, feeling pretty bad about ourselves. This is tremendous improvement. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. We have areas we know we have to work on, and we know what those are. But at least now we're starting to isolate what we know are real problem children and what we have to fix. By any standard, to jump where we've gone from to now is incredible. And again, that needs to be accredited to the improvement plan. Mr. Hall's a driving force last year, pushing us to make these changes. Our staff, principals, the administration, everything we've done so far is driving us in the right direction. So we've been looking for that point in time when we bottomed out and started coming the other way. I believe we're coming the other way now. So it's a very exciting time. What we're doing is working. We just need to stay focused on continuing making better strides in that direction. I think we will. So it's good news. Good news. I'll get off of my soapbox now. We'll put it back to Dave.
Okay.
That's it for my report.
All right, thank you. There's no unfinished business, so we'll move on directly to new business. Section F, H.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board waive the requirement for employees required to complete an SLO if they have submitted a retirement or resignation letter prior to December 1st.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
What does that mean? Does that mean that they're able? I mean, somebody was going to ask that, right? But the SLO, so they don't have to participate in that if they're going to retire.
The objective is half, as part of the student growth measure, it's half of the teacher's rating, their overall rating for the next school year.
So if they're not going to be here,
you don't get to retire before then. I don't have to worry about doing it.
Right.
It's part of the half of their teacher evaluation, which gets reported.
It doesn't mean they won't be tasked to still do their job to the best of their ability. It's just they don't have to do all the paperwork for an SLO.
And I did speak to both people who are considering this option, should it be approved, and they are still collecting the data and looking at the data. They're just not having the official SLO.
They don't have to say, this is what my target is going to be.
It just won't be as part of their evaluation. It's not something
the press
will
ever do in the system, in the state.
Right,
that's all.
Okay. I mean, I can speak to one that I've already sat down and had conversations, as those have been already been, the assessment's already been given to the students, their pre-assessment for the beginning of the year, and how are we going to set goals for the remainder of the year. So that data can carry over. I know the teacher I spoke to understands the importance of the data she collects this year for the teachers next year.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dash?
Yes.
Mr. Bucks?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept with regret the resignation of Paula Hamm, effective at the conclusion of the 2014-2015 school year. Mrs. Hamm has served the Madison Plains School District for 15 years.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept with regret the resignation of Jana Regal, effective at the conclusion of the 2014-2015 school year. She served the Madison Plains District for 28 years.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the board policy IGDK, interscholastic extracurricular eligibility, as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
Again, keep in mind, vote your conscience on this, because even if you vote this down, I'm still bringing back the final draft for you to vote on at that point.
Because you don't have all the categories in there, though.
First reading didn't mean much. You still gotta, we have to have it.
Right.
So, I mean, you still put it down next time.
Right. Right. Now, if you put it down next time, then we have a bigger issue. We have to get back to work.
Do we have a second? Do we get a second?
Yes.
Okay. Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 3-0, or 3-2, I'm sorry.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the substitute cook list as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the substitute aid list as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the Superintendent that the Board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year as listed.
Second. Discussion? Roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year. That is Jenny Wethington, 7th, 8th grade, boys soccer coach, Leslie Reisinger, reserve volleyball coach, Tyson Winters, varsity wrestling coach, and David Emmons, 7th and 8th grade wrestling coaches.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I make a motion upon recommendation of Superintendent the Board award the girls varsity basketball coach supplemental contract to Gary Deal to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year.
Second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board award the boys varsity basketball coach supplemental contract to Brett Prince to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for 2014-2015 school year.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the reduction of Sherry Schultz's contract by 1 day's pay.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the Superintendent that the Board approve the correction to Resolution 14-171 as follows. From employee Kent McIntyre on a one-year contract as invention specialist at Step 10 MA plus 15 to employee Kent McIntyre on a one-year contract as intervention specialist at Step 10 MA plus 30.
Second.
Lost track where we were.
Discussion.
Just FYI, additional information was provided after this was presented to the board that showed he should have a master's 30 step on the schedule. So that's why it's being corrected.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board authorize the advertisement to accept sealed bids for the purchase of one school bus. Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, this is just doing our normal ad and fleet, right?
That's correct.
It's our what we
are we
budgeted.
Decreasing any of the fleet? I mean, we get rid of any of those older buses?
We will. There's one that we will get rid of. We have about four that we're looking at, but this is a cycle. And instead of doing the two we wanted to do this year, if you recall, we didn't pass the PI increase that we wanted to do. So this is going to the fallback, in which we're getting one this year, and the next year we'll look at the PI fund and see where we're at and see if we want to do two or possibly three to make up time. It's just a matter of how much we have a need to spend our PR dollars up to that point. Okay, but one this year, two next year, done.
And when you say get rid of, that becomes a parts bus.
Correct.
Or we have sold it. I mean, that's what I was thinking. We get some money out of it, just get rid of it.
Typically, we sell them to the junkyard. That's where they've gone. And, usually down there on 56 up front. Mr. Mason's place.
We don't get much out of it.
Because we run the tires off of them, so to be honest, they're not worth a whole lot when we're done with.
So since this was supposed to be two buses before, is this going to be a larger bus? I mean, you know, we talked.
Yeah.
I mean,
be quite big.
Is this actually, a standard?
Well, I mean, there's two different sizes.
Actually, the discussion has been the opposite. One of our issues is taking smaller groups to Columbus. Well, taking one of our 78 passengers in Columbus is difficult for anybody, even our experienced drivers. So we're having that. That's why you don't see that on here.
Okay.
We're still having the discussion which best fits what we need. Is it a smaller bus? Is it one of the big ones? So that's why I didn't put that on here. I didn't want to tie us down.
Okay.
The only thing you've tied us to is it has to be under 100 grand.
There you go.
That's in the budget.
Additional discussion. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dabbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed, 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the service agreement between the Madison County Board of Developmental Disabilities and the Madison Plains Board of Education for the 2014-2015 school year as presented.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dabbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed, 5-0.
There are no donations.
Madam President, I make a motion and we adjourn.
I didn't even get out of my mouth. Second.
At 8:21.
Oh, closing meeting 8:21 p.m. Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dabbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed, 5-0.
Who seconded that motion?
I did.
Thank you.
No problem.